Would you join me as we pray together? It is good to praise your name, O God, to praise you with the sound of the trumpet, to praise you with all musical instruments, to make music to your name. We come to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. We have come to sing for joy to the Lord, to shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. And so let us come as God's people with hearts of thanksgiving to exalt him with music and song. Our prayer today, O God, is that the music that we sing would be music that would invoke your Holy Spirit, glorify your name. May this music be a witness to your majesty and love, and remind us that you're always faithful, you're always watching, always listening, always there when we need you the most. We have members of our congregation who need you in a special way today, for those in the hospital, for those who are at hospice, for those who are undergoing treatment, for families who have lost loved ones. We pray that the music of your Spirit would come and bring a sense of calm to our souls. May your presence and your beauty be found in every note, and may the words that are sung reach to the hearts of your people so that they will draw close to you. We pray that your Spirit would guide us now, that as we have gathered in this sanctuary, we would be the instruments of your peace and proclaim your glory with glad voices. In the name of the one who came to bring us life and to give us a song to sing, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Paul is going to come and lead us now as we begin our hymn singing.
Well, good morning. We're going to start off with a couple of hymns that are very familiar, and I went ahead and called them up first because I knew they'd get called, so I went ahead and put those in line. And the first one will be, let me look here, Just As I Am, and it's on page 445, and we will sing the first and last verse. And then after that, we will move on to 679, and I'll tell you the page numbers again when we all get to heaven. But what I need now is two more requests. Does anyone else have a request? I need the name of the hymn and the page number. Okay, what was the number? 415. 416. 416, okay. Did you get the second one?
416 and 25.
Right. Okay.
Hold that thought.
Yeah, we'll do two at a time.
We're gonna take two requests at a time. And then before we sing, I want to share a little bit about the hymn that we're about to sing, and then we're gonna have someone to come and share the word of Scripture. The hymn Just As I Am is one that we know best because of the Billy Graham Crusades. How many times have you heard Billy Graham issue the invitation to Christ, and the choir, under the direction of George Beverly Shea, would begin to sing Just As I Am? But the hymn was written by Charlotte Elliott, who lived in England in the 19th century. For most all of her life, she was an invalid. Her brother was a minister. One day he was raising money for an orphanage. She wanted to participate, but she felt helpless. That was one night that she was just overwhelmed by the fact that she felt like she had nothing to contribute. But that was the night that she sat down with pen and paper and wrote the formula of her faith, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. We sing one of our most beloved hymns. The next hymn that we are about to sing was When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day of Rejoicing That Will Be, was actually written by a Sunday school teacher to teach this truth of Scripture to her children. Her name was Eliza Hewitt. She was a Sunday school teacher in Philadelphia, and she also had physical limitations. She was a good friend of Fanny Crosby, and together the two ladies met and talked about their limitations, but the fact that in Christ we have no limitations. The tune that is so popular was written by Emily Wilson, a Methodist pastor's wife. We will now hear our first scripture lesson by Connie Russell, and then we will sing When We All Get to Heaven.
In Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, we find these words. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
What was the first one?
222? 622.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
What a friend we have in Jesus. And what was that number again? I'm sorry.
622.
622. Okay.
And 678? What's that one? Oh, in the bulb there is a flower. Perfect. The hymn that we are about to sing, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory, is that right? Number 416. This is one of the most powerful hymns. I think you know the story behind this hymn because it was written early in the Civil War by Julia Ward Howe, whose father was a great renowned minister in our nation who was active in the abolitionist movement. This hymn that was sung so often during the Civil War was a hymn that Abraham Lincoln especially loved. And it is a hymn that reminds us of the fact that in Christ we will always have the victory. We will now have our second scripture lesson, and then we will sing Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory.
From Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and exalt him with music and song.
The next hymn is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, which is number 25. Thank you, Betty Jane. This is a hymn that is based on the 103rd Psalm. There was a collection of paraphrases of the Psalms, and this is one of our most beloved hymns. It was a hymn that was used at the wedding of Queen Elizabeth at Westminster Abbey on November the 20th, 1947. We will now have our third scripture lesson. We're going to do that one, I believe. Holy, holy, holy.
In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we read, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God."
Have holy, 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 and we need one more. 484, and that is the old rugged cross. You know, the hymns that we sing speak to us in so many ways. They're powerful. We learn more about our faith from the hymns that we sing than from Bible studies, Sunday school classes, sermons. Winston Churchill actually requested that the Battle Hymn of the Republic be sung at his funeral service. The hymn that we are about to sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 622, is a hymn that was written by Joseph Scriven. He was a young man with so much potential. He met the love of his life. The night before their wedding, she drowned in a tragic accident. A few years later, he met another young lady, fell in love with her, but she became ill and died. Then he decided to follow his father in military service, but because of his health, he could not fulfill that dream. He left Ireland, went to Canada, and one day he received a letter from his mother, who was desperate because of her physical condition. And that night, in his loneliness, when all seemed lost, he sat down and he wrote the words, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." We will now have the fourth scripture lesson, and then we will sing.
From Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That we are about to sing, number 678 in the bulb There Is a Flower, is one of the newest hymns. It was written by Natalie Sleeth when she had lost a dear friend and she was contemplating the reality of death, and she thought about the words from T.S. Eliot in a poem he wrote, "In our end is our beginning." She wrote this beautiful hymn. It was performed one night. Her husband heard the performance and a few days later found out that he had cancer. This hymn was sung at his funeral service, and we use it often to remind us of hope and the resurrection. We will now have the fifth scripture lesson, and then we will sing 678.
From Psalm chapter 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God! For He is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting.
That's number 21, and then Come, thou fount of every blessing. We're getting ready to sing number 2, Ava Lee, Holy, Holy, Holy. This is a great example of how a hymn teaches theology. It's based on the 4th chapter of Revelation, and it talks about the Trinity. It helps us to understand that our God is one God who comes to us in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You notice that the tune title is Nicaea. And the reason for that is it was at the Council of Nicaea when the doctrine of the Trinity was finalized by the church. We will now have scripture number 6, Luke, and then we will sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
God. Psalm 104:33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being.
Let's stand and sing this one.
Our hymns come to us from different circumstances in life, and some come from moments of profound revelation. That's the case of the old rugged cross that we are about to sing. George Bernard, who wrote this, said that he was praying one day for a full understanding of the cross. He said he read, he studied, he prayed, and then he had a vision. He saw Jesus on the cross. And then he said he heard the words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And it was in that moment of revelation, that he was able to sit down and to write these words that mean so much to us in our faith. We will have scripture number 7. And then we will sing.
James 5:13. Are any of you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise.
Oh,
probably just need two more. Did 4:18? It is, what number is that?
519.
519. Did somebody say 4:18? Oh. So 519, it is well, and then I heard America the Beautiful. Oh, there you go, 4:18. So, and unless you want to stay longer, we probably will end it with these. But we're about to sing How Great Thou Art, number 21. There's a great story behind this. It was actually written by a pastor in Sweden. There was a British missionary in the western Ukraine, talk about relevance, who learned this in Russian. After the Second World War, he ministered to a lot of refugees from the Ukraine. And that was when he wrote the final stanza. We're going to listen to scripture number 8, and then we're going to sing How Great Thou Art.
From Isaiah 12, 4 through 5. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted, sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth.
Number 45, it's one of my favorite hymns, not just because of the music, but the story behind it. The writer of this, Robert Robinson, was a young man who lived a very selfish life. He had a dramatic conversion to Christ, and shortly after his conversion, he became a minister. He actually wrote this hymn to use in his church service as a minister. But I want you to notice something. On the third stanza, he writes, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." Unfortunately, he left the ministry. He gave up on his faith. And a lot of you know the story that one day he got into a stagecoach. There was a lady in the stagecoach who was actually humming this hymn. And she looked at him and said, "Do you know this hymn?" And he said, "Madam, I wrote that hymn, and I would give 1,000 tomorrows to feel like I did when I wrote those words." We're going to listen to the 9th scripture lesson and then sing "Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing," number 45.
Hebrews 2:12. "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise."
I'm going to suggest that we sing "America the Beautiful," 418, and then let "It Is Well with My Soul" be our offertory hymn. "America the Beautiful" was written by Catherine Bates, the daughter of a Congregational minister, a professor of English literature. She lived her whole life in the Northeast. In 1893, she went to Colorado, and she was looking at Pike's Peak, and in a great moment of inspiration, she wrote the words, "America the Beautiful, O beautiful for spacious skies," that we will now sing. Final hymn that we will sing that is most appropriate is one we all love, "When Peace Like a River." Recently, we shared the whole story about the lawyer from Chicago, Horatio Spafford, whose 4 daughters were lost in the Atlantic. As he was going over to meet his wife, he penned the words, when peace like a river attendeth my way. Why don't we stand, Paul, and we'll let this be our offertory hymn.